Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Diabetes Angio, the Diabetes Association, Mr. Danu is already in here and ready to go. So, good afternoon, Mr. Angio Danu.
Good afternoon, Davey. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty much okay.
Nice, nice, man. I'm glad you're doing a good job filling in for Tusker today.
Yeah, try a thing.
So I want to welcome all listeners as well to of course, Diabetes and you on Freedom 106.5. I want to say a special thanks to our sponsor for today's segment, Boost. And, of course, today's very special guest for the Trinidad Eye Hospital is Priyanka Prasad. We're going to join Priyanka in a short bit. But before we do that, I like to always talk about what's going on at the association. So tomorrow is actually our semi-final of the National Diabetes Primary School Quiz. So we have 60 children from Standard 3 from all across the country, both Trinidad and Tobago, who are going to be coming to our head office for that second round. The final is going to be on the 17th, and I believe the final may be broadcasted on Freedom, maybe even CNTS3. So we're going to see about that. So we'll have a lot more persons seeing what's going on here at that quiz. We also have our sixth form internship program, which we're currently taking applications. If you do know a sixth former, or you are a sixth former listening up, and you do have interest in health or NGO work, then you could sign up for this program. Go to our Facebook or Instagram, go to our website, and you could be able to sign up for this program. Program starts in July. We're also, of course, continuing our diabetic eye screening program with the Trinidad Eye Hospital. And this program is throughout the country. The next location we'll be at will be, I believe, Pinal tomorrow. So I'm not sure if that's filled as yet, but we do have a couple spots remaining, I believe, in Pinal at the Oroput West Constituency Office. So if you do, or you are living in Pinal, that's an opportunity for you to have your eyes screened if you have not screened them yet for the year. We're also going to be in Shogunas at our head office next week, Friday, that's the 23rd. So that's an opportunity for persons in the Shogunas area to come out and get your eyes screened. Free diabetic eye screening exam. It's a dilated eye exam. And again, people with diabetes need to have this exam at least once a year, every year. So give us a call at the association. To contact the association, again, you could call us at 607-3288. That's 607-3288. Or you can send us a message on Instagram or Facebook and we'll take your appointment. And it's all free. So that's what some of the major things going on in the association. Of course, we have a diabetic foot program coming up very soon on the 28th, which I believe is next week. Next week, Sunday, we're going to be having three events, actually. The first event is 5K. That's at Queen's Royal College. That's with Stefan Rees at 6 a.m. And there are lots of big prizes there. So, and then right after, there's a golf tournament with Rotary Club of Port of Spain West at Mocha. That's, I believe, at 9. And in the afternoon, we have an event with Nicole Dyer Griffiths, O2, and with Style at O2 Park. And all of those three events are actually in aid of our children living with diabetes, in aid of them getting blood sugar strips and even continuous glucose monitors. We do have continuous glucose monitors available, of course, at the association. And if you would like to purchase one, or you could want to acquire one, you could give us a call again. So that's what's going on at the association. I know Bass is going to join us very shortly, but in the meantime, I want to again introduce our very special guest today. And today we are going to be talking about Women's Eye Health Month. And we have, of course, Priyanka Prasad. She is the manager of surgical services at the Trinidad Eye Hospital. So I want to welcome Priyanka to Diabetes and You. And I want Priyanka to tell us a little bit more about herself. So Priyanka.
Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me. Before I say anything about myself, I just want to say congratulations to the Diabetic Association for all the good work that they've been doing. I really applaud the involvement of the youth into becoming aware of diabetes and all of the other work on screening. So congrats on that.
Of course. Thanks very much.
So about myself, I am currently the surgical services manager at Trinidad Eye Hospital. I've been in that position since 2018, so quite some time. I'm also a certified ophthalmic technician. So we do a lot of screening patients in clinic here, and we see a lot of patients who cannot afford eye care services. And so our main aim as part of the surgical services team and part of the clinic team is for us to help those patients to get their eye care services done.
Mm-hmm. And so Priyanka, we're talking about Women's Eye Health Month, and I mean, why do we have this time to observe this, and why is it so so special to focus on women's eye health, and why do we do that during this month?
So generally, women are at a higher risk for visual impairment and blindness due to the hormonal fluctuations that we experience. So it's mm-hmm. therefore important for us to have a routine annual screening so that we can detect any changes that are occurring in the eye. And if there is a change occurring, it's important for us to plan for treatment to prevent any blindness or visual impairment in mm-hmm. the near or the distant future.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, you're talking about blindness, visual impairment, but what are the diseases that would actually lead to that? So what are the diseases that are, for instance, more common in women than men? Or what are the diseases that would lead to visual impairment and possibly blindness?
Sure. So women are prone to experience conditions which we know as cataracts, so it's a common thing. We also experience more commonly than men dry eyes, age-related macular degeneration, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, refractive errors. So these are things that would be easily corrected with glasses or your contact lenses. And these are more common or more popular with women, especially as time progresses. So it gets worse with age. Mm-hmm. I could just expand a little bit. So the age-related macular degeneration, it sort of disrupts the central vision. Then there would be the cataracts, which clouds the lens, so it causes you to see very blurry, experiencing glares and halos, gives you problems while you're driving. Then there would be dry eye syndrome, which causes your eye to feel dry and irritated, very gritty. Sometimes you'll have redness and a lot of discomfort and tearing. There's also the increased risk of glaucoma, just among a couple.
Mm-hmm. And so we hear about all these diseases. Of course, these diseases do affect men as well, but you're saying they tend to affect women a little bit more. My question to you, and I mean, this is just from observations, and it's something that we always see. Is it more prevalent in women, or is it just that women actually present with these things earlier? And the reason I'm asking that is that often everybody knows that if it is that you go to any health center, you go to any health institution, you're going to see women outnumbering men, normally more than half as many women, less than half of the persons who are there are men, sometimes up to about a quarter of the persons. So more women tend to seek out healthcare, and everybody knows men tend to delay treatment, tend to delay diagnoses. So is it that it's truly, or eye diseases in women are truly because of a woman's physiology, or is it really just because women are presenting earlier and you're detecting these diseases? And then, of course, for men, it's just when they present very, very late. Is that what's happening?
That's an interesting question. So it is based a lot on the hormonal fluctuations that women experience. However, some studies would have suggested that women also, although they are, you know, seen very much in high numbers in the clinics, they come into the clinics a little bit later than men. And so sometimes when they present a bit later, the conditions become a little bit harder to treat. And so they can't get treated. So they continue to be monitored over several visits. And so we have to see them very often in the clinics because they've been waiting so long and now it's not easily something that we can cure, you know? So they have to go through treatment very often. But a lot of the problems that women would experience, again, comes back to the hormones that we have and a lot of the imbalances there. So women who are pregnant or women who are in the menopause stage experience a lot of problems. When the hormones drop during menopause, they experience a lot of dry eye syndrome type problems, which is one of the most commonly experienced eye problems for women. And so they will have a lot of irritation and discomfort in the eye. The drops in the hormones tend to affect the production of tears, and so it leads to dryness. It also tends to affect the health of the meibomian glands, which would be the glands that produce that oily layer in the tear film, which prevents the tears from evaporating too quickly. And so it further aggravates the dry eyes. Then in other severe cases, there have been links that the hormonal imbalances can link to an increased risk of the age-related macular degeneration, which is one of the leading causes of vision vision loss, sorry, in adults.
So Priyanka, one of the common themes you're mentioning is, again, hormonal imbalances or hormonal changes. And of course, through a woman, a woman's life, there would be hormonal changes through various cycles, through various activities. Again, you would have mentioned menopause, and I want to talk about pregnancy as well. But I want us to take a short break, acknowledge our sponsors. When we get back, I want to talk about pregnancy and if that affects a woman's health, or eye health rather. And then when we come back, we'll also open up our phone lines. We'll take some calls and some messages from our listeners. We with Priyanka from the Eye Hospital, Priyanka Prasad, and we're chatting about Women's Eye Health Month. So, Bees, let's take that break. When we get back, we'll open the phone lines and we'll continue the conversation.
Sure, of course. All right. So, folks, Prodigy's pocket glucose meter is small, lightweight, and convenient. No coding is required. Simply insert a test strip into the test strip port and Prodigy Pocket will automatically power on. The small blood sample size makes it easy for a patient to utilize the option for alternate site testing, which means taking a blood sample from anywhere other than the fingertips, including the palm, the upper forearm and abdomen, the calf and the thigh. Its features includes easy to use, fast and accurate results in 7 seconds, easy to read. Prodigy Pocket is recommended to persons who are diabetic or pre-diabetic, and persons who have diabetes in their family history, persons who tend to prioritize their overall health and well-being, and actively monitor various health markers. Pick up your Prodigy Pocket today at Lending Pharmacies Nationwide. This is in diabetic care.
And thanks, Bees. And again, we are here chatting with Priyanka Prasad from the Trinidad Eye Hospital. We're talking about Women's Eye Health Month. Before the break, we were talking about how or what type of diseases affect a woman's eyes. And we were starting to have that conversation about the various life stages of a woman and how their eye health may be impacted. So I was going to ask Priyanka about, of course, pregnancy. But again, if you do have a question for us, you could give us a call or you could send us a message. I will take those questions shortly. But basically, if there is a call coming in, we'll take the call. But in the meantime, Priyanka, I wanted to tell us about pregnancy. How would being pregnant affect or may affect a woman's eye health or their risk of getting eye diseases?
So the normal, well, expectant mothers, I should say, experience several hormonal and physical changes. But when it relates to the eye, they do notice dry eyes, blurred vision, or severe changes to vision. And slight changes are common. If you notice that your vision has changed a little bit, it's okay. These are usually temporary. So the visual impairments, these are temporary. And normally after delivery, it returns to your normal eyesight. But in some cases, the changes may be permanent. And so you're required to see your ophthalmologist or your optometrist to get some advice on that.
Mm-hmm.
If women are diabetic or they have like...
I do see a call coming in, so when you're ready.
We have a call?
Yes.
Let's take the call.
All right, Kevin. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, David. I am a diabetic for over 56 years now, but I live alone and I don't have nobody to take me to anywhere. I don't know if I could get any help from you all. Did you hear what I said?
So you're diabetic and you don't have anyone to take you anywhere. Where do you need to go to? A clinic?
Well, I hardly went to the clinic for many years now. I never went to the clinic. What happened? Where I was living before, I went to the clinic and I got a paper that they gave me to get my medication. Mm-hmm. I only take two medications. That is the tablet for pressure and the insulin. So I get that at any drug store when I go. So I don't go to any clinic again.
All right, this is Mr. Shankar. This is you?
Yes, correct.
Mr. Shankar, we know of your case. The Diabetic Association, I doubt, will be able to help you in your case. I mean, do you have a case where you could send people to pick up people, that kind of thing? Dr. Danu?
No,
exactly.
No, we don't
so,
have that. I think that, I mean, that may be something more for social services.
Exactly. And I did try to help him and put him onto the social services. People is just taking some time. I do know of the case and the individual. Right?
Yeah, I know that takes a while, but I hope that it does get through, though. I really do hope that it does. So while we wait for another call, let's...
No, that's it.
Priyanka, let's continue. So we're talking about women and their risk, yes, and pregnancy.
Yeah, so I was alluding to women with diabetes or gestational diabetes, and I was saying that they would be at a much higher risk of developing a serious eye condition during pregnancy. And diabetes, as we know, is not a very nice thing. So it can cause them to have permanent damage to the blood vessels in the eye if the blood sugars remain uncontrolled, which we know, and this is something that they need to look out for. So any changes in their vision, severe blurring or fluctuating vision, double vision, flashes, floaters with the eye, or any vision loss at all, they should really see their eye care professionals, whether it's the optometrist or the ophthalmologist, to have their eyes checked and ensure that steps are being taken to reduce the risk of diabetic retinopathy and the damages that come along with that, which could lead to permanent blindness.
So Priyanka, you're saying even during the 9 months of pregnancy, or even a shorter period of time where a woman may be diagnosed with gestational diabetes, they could be at risk for eye diseases and these diabetic type eye diseases?
Yes. So I said earlier that these are usually temporary, and most times after delivery, these conditions settle. But if they don't, it can lead to the risk of developing permanent visual impairment.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
so like
even...
So I was going to say, if the diabetes continues and it's not under control, it can significantly impact the eye health and cause various conditions. So diabetic retinopathy, diabetic macular edema could cause progression of cataracts and even glaucoma. And we know these conditions will likely lead to visual impairments and or blindness if it's not managed or treated promptly.
So I mean, even with gestational diabetes, there are quite a large number of women who have gestational diabetes progressing to having type 2 diabetes after delivery. And many of these women would have had pre-diabetes before the pregnancy. So I'm assuming that, of course, if you do have these transient or these temporary type of eye diseases during pregnancy, you may have, just like gestational diabetes, moving into or transitioning into type 2, these diseases may become even more more significant after delivery. But what I want to find out, because of course it all goes into the risk factors for diabetes and of course the risk factors for these eye diseases. So for women especially, or even, I mean, it'll be true for men and women, but what are the risk factors? Meaning that besides being a woman, what other factors put you at a risk of having an increased risk of developing these eye diseases? So in terms of your weight, and what are the factors that put you at risk?
So in general, your blood sugar levels, your blood pressure levels, your weight, everything in general, so not just for women, everybody needs to look at that. If your blood sugars are not controlled, it will lead to eye problems. If your blood pressure is not controlled, it can also lead to eye problems. So these all need to be managed well, so that we could prevent any sort of visual impairment that can occur, because in some instances, it may not be treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And so the vision loss can be permanent.
Mm-hmm. So Priyanka, I wanted to get into a little bit more detail, because you are the head of surgical services at the eye hospital. So of course, you're very much involved in the types of interventions which may be needed for people with various eye diseases. I just wanted to give our listeners a little idea of what are these types of interventions for the main type. So for example, if someone has diabetic retinopathy, what is the treatment course? What is the plan of action? How is the person, what interventions? Are there medications? Are there surgeries? And I wanted to tell us for retinopathy, glaucoma, cataract, the three most common, I would assume, conditions.
Sure. So I could probably start off with the easier one, which is cataracts. So cataract is basically a clouding of your lens, and it therefore causes your vision to be reduced. It is usually an age-related change. So a lot of people, mid-aged people, would have experience this, and it progresses. So if you are experiencing any sort of blurry vision, glare, halos, problems driving at night, you can go to your eye care professional, and if they have diagnosed you with cataract, then the next plan of action is cataract surgery. Mm-hmm. It's really the only treatment for cataract, and that is surgery. We take the cataract out, and the surgeons will replace your natural lens, which is now being called a cataract, with an artificial lens. And that is implanted in the eye, and your vision should be back to, you know, like 20 years before by the next day. So that is simple. I mean, I say simple, but it's surgery nonetheless.
But it's quicker. That procedure is pretty quick. That surgery takes about, a half an hour?
It is. It's about 20 to 30 minutes. So it's a pretty quick procedure. But I mean, with any surgery, there is still the post-operative care and all of the restrictions for the next 2 to 3 weeks after that you'll need to adhere to.
Of course. And Priyanka, before you continue talking about glaucoma and retinopathy, I wanted to, because there is a program with that the Trinidad Eye Hospital runs, but of course it sponsors, and with the Diabetes Association, called the Gift of Sight program. I wanted to talk a little bit about that before we continue to talk about the other conditions, because with gift of sight, of course, it's really offering people who need cataract surgeries and can't afford it that gift. So tell us about that. Christmas and July is coming up. Tell us about Christmas in July and that gift of sight initiative.
So our charity initiative, which coincidentally, Andrew, we are actually working to make it a year-round program, not just in July and December anymore. So we want to use the initiative, which we are now calling the Beyond Vision Charity Surgery Initiative, to transform patients' lives by restoring sight to those patients that suffer from cataracts. And the vision of this whole charitable project is that every person deserves the gift of sight. So the Beyond Vision Initiative is striving to eliminate preventable blindness caused by cataracts and therefore empower individuals to regain their independence, their productivity, and just live life.
So Priyanka, just put a pin in there. Let's take this call and we'll get back to that.
I think the call has left there. The call has left. Caller, feel free to call us back at 627-322-3625 2257. We do have a couple questions there. Good day. When is the eye screening in Pinal? Any chances?
Oh, the eye screening in Pinal is tomorrow, but I believe that may have been filled by now. So the next opportunity is in Chaguanas, but we will come back in the Pinal area soon.
All right, another question. My mom, age 72, had cataract surgery on her right eye about 8 months ago. She's hypertensive and has been diagnosed with vertigo and anxiety. Unfortunately, her eye is red most times and she is not seeing too well. She has been advised that her cornea is damaged. Doctors advise that she needs surgery or to use eye drops for the rest of her life. Is there anything else she can do?
Priyanka.
Yeah, so usually if the cornea becomes damaged, then the patients would have to be seeing a cornea specialist for advice and treatment plans. Our practice does not do cornea, so unfortunately I can't advise a lot on that. But yes, if the eye is red and, you know, she's not seeing well and she may have some pain, then she should definitely go to the doctor and get some advice on how to move ahead.
So Priyanka, is that a complication that could arise during the surgery, damage to the cornea? Or do you think it might be something that may be caused somewhere else?
It can be a complication of surgery to have cornea damage. It could be that sometimes, you know, there is an underlying condition with the cornea sometimes is not picked up in the preoperative assessment. And it presents, you know, after surgery is done. So, yes, it could be a complication. I can't say yes or no for sure. So I'm saying it may be a complication, but that is best for the doctor to advise.
I know we have a couple more questions.
We have one more question. All right, go ahead.
I just wanted Priyanka to finish that thought about the charitable program, because that program really offers persons who cannot afford a cataract surgery and, of course, can't wait for the public health system, because, of course, you know, it's offered for free, but sometimes the wait may be pretty lengthy. So, Priyanka, could you just end that thought by reminding us or telling us how could someone enroll for a program, that program, or is that the logistics of it still being worked out, or how could someone get into the or get that free eye too, or get that free cataract surgery?
Yeah, so we definitely need to see the patient in our clinics. So we ask them to come in, have a visit with our doctors. As long as the doctors diagnose the patient with cataracts, routine, uncomplicated cataract surgery is recommended. Then the patients will come into the surgical team and they will obviously indicate to us that they are unable to afford surgery by paying for it, and that they will need some assistance in that regard. And so we will list the patients. We look at the patient's diagnosis. We look at their vision levels. We take a little bit of social history of the patient. And obviously, we, with our team, we will review their files and we make a decision on whether or not they would benefit from having a charitable surgery. And so if they are, we contact the patient, we let them come in. They have to get measurements and stuff for the lens that we're going to use during surgery. And then they are listed for surgery, which is obviously free because it's charity.
Mm-hmm. All right, that sounds, I mean, it's an excellent initiative. And I know that there are lots of sponsors on board with that. So we'll talk about that a little bit more when the program is relaunched, I guess. But I know we do have some more questions. So basically, let's take those questions.
All right, the question is, what is the average cost to do a cataract operation?
So market value for cataract surgery is around $12,000 to $14,000. We do have a subsidized pricing program currently running, which is essentially a discounted cost of surgery. So patients can get surgery for around $8,000 with us, which is about a 40% discount on your regular cost of surgery.
Okay. And with the...
Of course, terms will apply.
Of course. And with the question before with the cornea, well, they said she had to visit the cornea specialist. Thank you very much for the information. One just came in here. Hey, good, had a cataract surgery. I am not diabetic. How did I get it? Somebody had cataract surgery and they said they are not diabetic.
And they would like to know.
They would like to know how they got it.
How they got cataracts?
Yeah. How do you get cataracts?
It's an age-related change. So as we get older, the lens, natural lens in the eye, tends to get a bit cloudy. It can progress quicker if the patients have any underlying conditions, such as diabetes. Other instances, if you have trauma, it will cause the cataract development to be faster, but usually age.
Okay, there was a question coming in, a call coming in. Let's try, see if we got it. Oh, lost it again. 6225-2257. Quickly, before we turn back over to Dr. Andrew Danu and his guests as we discuss women's eye health. All right, going once, going twice. Okay, all right, let's go. Hello, good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling concerning these cataract surgeries that you all are speaking about. The discounted prices for these surgeries, there are a lot of trainees on this program that they're allowed to do the surgeries on your eyes. Because I have been one of them. That's why I am calling, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, miss. Thank you.
I think a question is if it is that the discounted surgeries mean that there are trainees doing the surgery or interns doing the surgeries. Priyanka, can you answer that?
Sure. So our team in theater usually has a resident and a consultant. So there is always a senior doctor present when surgery is happening. But it is a team approach that we use for surgery.
Yeah. And I think throughout all those medical procedures, all surgeries, you do have, of course, you have physicians of different experiences and ranks, but they're always senior physicians who are there doing it. And I know Dr. Bula is always very much involved. Is Dr. Dwarika still there as well? Very much still there.
He unfortunately is not with us. He has branched off on his own.
Oh, but I know Dr. Bula is always involved, and of course a lot of other very highly qualified professionals, very highly qualified ophthalmologists, specialists as well, with those surgeries. So thanks for that call. So we have about 12 minutes left. Do we have another?
We do have another question. Good day. I have been diagnosed with cataracts in the right eye about 6+ years. In 4 years, in the left, right? The ophthalmologist said they are too small to cut. Is this normal?
For our practice, actually, as long as you have the cataract, we can do the surgery. So we are not really bothered about the size, like he was mentioning, the patient was mentioning. So we go along, if it's bothering your vision, let's do it. Let's get the cataract out and clear up your vision. So, I mean, the patient can definitely visit us and let's get the surgery done.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, that's it for now.
So, all right, thanks, Bees. So I was saying we do have about 12 minutes left. I know we do have to acknowledge our sponsors. One more time, take another short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up. And Priyanka is also going to share the contact information for the Trinidad Eye Hospital in case persons do want to reach out to them. Let's take that short break, Bees. When we come back, we will wrap up. And then we will also probably take a couple more questions.
All right. Of course, you remember, folks, that Prodigy's pocket glucose meter is small, lightweight, and convenient. No coding is required. Simply insert a test strip into the test strip port, and the Prodigy pocket will automatically power on. The small blood sample size makes it easier for patients to utilize the option for the alternate site testing, which means taking a blood sample from anywhere other than the fingertips, including the palm, the upper forearm, the abdomen, the calf, and the thigh. Its features includes easy to use, fast and accurate results in 7 seconds. Easy to read, Prodigy Pocket is recommended to persons who are diabetic or pre-diabetic and persons who have diabetes in their family health history, persons who tend to prioritize their overall health and well-being and actively monitor various health markers. Pick up your Prodigy Pocket today at Lending Pharmacies nationwide. This is in diabetic care.
Thanks, Bees. And we're chatting with Priyanka Prasad from the Trinidad Eye Hospital. We're chatting, of course, about Women's Eye Health Month. We've got a lot of information today, speaking about the types of diseases that affect women and, of course, different stages of life that where diseases would affect a woman. And of course, we were talking about the hormonal changes that would occur through lifespan, but we didn't talk much about menopause. I wanted to have Priyanka chat a little bit about how menopause may affect a woman's vision.
Can you repeat that, Andrew?
Yes, I wanted to find out how hormonal changes during menopause may affect a woman's vision.
Right. So most common problems, again, with women and menopause is dry eye symptoms. And it sounds like I'm repeating, but it really is a very annoying problem. Women will get a lot of hormonal levels dropping during menopause, and it affects the production of tears, which leads to irritation and discomfort of the eyes and dry eyes. And it also affects the health of the glands in the eyes, which will produce the layers of oily layer of the tears, which would prevent tears from evaporating too quickly. And so it aggravates that dry eye feeling. But also the fluctuations will also, they also have been linked to an increased risk of age-related macular degeneration in women, and also diabetic retinopathy and retinal vein occlusions, which if is not being treated, it will lead to vision loss and possibly blindness.
All right. So Priyanka, we've chatted about many of these eye diseases, but what I want you to tell our listeners about is what are the symptoms they should be looking out for? What means that they may have some of these eye diseases? And what may be some of the symptoms of the most common eye diseases?
any sort of blurred or distorted vision, any reduction in vision, any eye pains or eye discomfort, redness, itching, burning, sensitivity to light, noticing glares or halos while you're driving, flashes of light, any floaters that you see in your vision, or any sudden changes in the vision may indicate an underlying eye condition that would require some evaluation by your eye care professionals.
And so we have all of these symptoms that a woman could look out for. Of course, a man could look out for these symptoms as well, because it's the same for both men and women. Signs. And if you do have any of these kinds of symptoms, then what should you do? What is your advice? If you're feeling, because of course, you know, people like to wait and say, okay, well, it'll go away for itself. But how long should you wait? And what should you do? What should your next step be if you're experiencing any of these symptoms?
I generally would say don't wait, because you never know if you're looking at something that is a small problem. Like if it's dry eyes causing your vision to be a bit blurry, that is simple. We could use some eye drops to treat that and you'll be fine. But if your vision is blurry, it may not be dry eyes. It could be something worse. I mean, you could be having a retinal problem, which requires urgent treatment because it could lead to further visual impairment. So my general comment for this would be, go as quickly as you can to your eye care professional and get their advice.
And of course, those eye care professionals could be private or public. Of course, there are clinics throughout Trinidad and Tobago. I know every major public hospital, you can go to the eye clinic. You can also, of course, go to, there are many reputable ophthalmologists across the country, the Trinidad Eye Hospital being one. So I wanted to share your contact information, Priyanka. How could someone reach you, Trinidad Eye Hospital, where you are located, and what are the services you offer?
We have two branches, one in San Fernando, Laramie, more specifically, and the other is in Paji. You can reach us easily by calling our number. It's 235-4834. That's 235-4834. Or on social media. And you just type in Trinidad Eye Hospital and you'll find us on Facebook, Instagram. So we are easily accessible. We do have a comprehensive eye screening at both locations, and we also have the optical available on site at both locations.
And of course, besides that, you do offer the surgery services, the surgical services, the treatment, and you have, another hospital has been working with the Diabetes Association for the last, I believe, close to 4 years doing diabetic screening throughout the country. So I know to date we have screened in excess of 6,000 persons, many of whom have had some sort of diabetic eye disease, some sort of eye disease we've been able to capture and then direct them to treatment. So I really want to thank Trinidad Hospital for that partnership. And as we wrap up, I want to thank Priyanka Prasad for being here with us today, chatting about women's Eye Health Month. Before we close, I want to give Priyanka a minute to leave us with any closing words.
Sure. So thank you, first of all, for having me. And I just want to close by saying that vision is not just sight. Vision is life. Because without your vision, you might just lose the hope to live. So you should take care of it. So any problems, make sure you go to your doctors.
And thanks so much for that, Priyanka. I really do appreciate, and I think we had a very good, very engaging and very meaningful conversation today about eye health, and especially for women, and the special care they should take up their eyes, because of course many women are caregivers, as you said, if you lose your eyesight, For many persons, it's very difficult to cope. We know we do have a lot of persons living in Trinidad and Tobago who are visually impaired and living quite successfully, but someone who had their eyesight, nobody wants to lose it, even lose a part of it, because of course it's going to put you at a disadvantage, and you would have to change, of course, everything about your life. So thank you again, Priyanka, and thank you to the Eye Hospital, Trinidad Eye Hospital, for working with the Diabetes Association. As we wrap up today, I just want to remind our listeners that we do have free diabetic eye screening throughout the country. Next week, we are in Chabonas. That's next week, Friday. If you do want an appointment, give us a call at 607-3288. We are also in locations throughout the country in the month of May. I don't think we've reached those locations as yet. But if you give us a call, we will take down your name. And when we do come to your area, we will give you a call and make an appointment for you. So if you do want a free diabetic exam, call us at 607-3288. That's the Diabetes Association. And we'll make that appointment for you. So I think that's it for today for Diabetes and You. Thanks again, Base, for facilitating and being there in studio with us for us. Next week, Thursday, we'll have another very exciting episode. I want to thank our listeners as well, and thank Freedom 106.5. So, Base, have a great evening.
Thank you very much, folks. Of course, you've been listening to Diabetes and You right here on Freedom 106.5.
Now, a station that's giving you back the power to speak your mind. The all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5.